chapter 17, look at verse 11 down through verse number 19. Luke chapter 11, excuse me, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 down through verse number 19. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he refers to Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger, or except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to speak this morning on this subject for a few moments, thanksgiving lessons from the lepers. Thanksgiving lessons from the lepers. And I'm going to subtitle it, will you be the one? Let's get some help. Father, we give you the praise for the fact that our lives do not belong to us. They belong to you. And Father, it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saved our souls, he birthed us into your family. And you adopted us. You care for us. You watch over us. You protect us. You provide for us. You do so many things. And Father, even our own minds, we can't imagine all that you have in store for us when one day we look upon you. But Father, until that glorious time, we have to occupy down here until your son Jesus comes back to get us. And so, Father, I pray once again that you would give us today what we need to occupy until the trumpet sounds. Father, please help us to leave this building determined that we're going to be thankful people and apply these lessons that we're going to receive today. Help us, Father. I need the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Without you, I can do nothing. And Father, I pray for your people that has already been prayed, that you would give your people, Father, a heart to heed that which is coming from this pulpit. Father, take full control. If there's some man, some woman, some teenager who's not saved, I pray that you would save that person today before it's eternally too late. Have your will in your way. Do what only you can do, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we ask it. Amen. Well, I think most of you know that this coming Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving. I love the time of season. I know that they already have their paraphernalia up and have had it up for a period of time now, looking forward to how the world celebrates Christmas. You know the way I phrase that. And sometimes Thanksgiving can be often forgotten, but I don't want it to be forgotten with us. Amen. And so we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. But as I mentioned at the beginning of this month, and I started off this month, I preached one Thanksgiving sermon so far, and you'll get a minimum of 3 because you'll get another one on Tuesday night. But I started off the very first sermon that I preached in the month of November. I preached a Thanksgiving message. And my message was entitled, We Should Take Time and Thank God. I won't go back and re-preach the message, but I drew all of my points from one passage. And I said, we should take time and thank God for his power and for his people and for his provisions and for his promises and for his protection. Because I said, I want us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. I just don't want it to last for one day. I want it to be a lifestyle for us. And you can't help but read the scriptures and come away saying that we are supposed to be thankful people. All of us have something to thank God for. And one of those passages of scripture that we have is right here in our text today. We're talking about 10 men that were in serious trouble, and 9 of them, well, actually all 10 of them, received something from the Lord, but only one of them came back. That's why I subtitle it, "Will You Be the One?" But the message is entitled, "Thanksgiving Lessons from the Lepers." So let's get right into it today. Number one, in case you're taking notes, here's a lesson we can learn. Number one, a person can have tremendous faith and still not be thankful. I want you to let that one soak in for just a moment. A person can have tremendous faith. I'm talking about mountain moving, earth shattering faith, and still not be thankful. Look with me in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 down through verse number 14. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass, watch this now, that as they went, they were cleansed. The Bible says these 10 men, they stood afar off. There were various stages of leprosy. And these men were in one of the, not the latter, but one of the latter stages of leprosy. The Bible says they stood afar off. That literally meant that they put themselves in a position to where they would have to yell and scream so that Jesus could hear them, but they could not put themselves in a place where they could have physical contact with someone. These men knew enough about the Lord. They referred to him by name. They called him Jesus. They referred to his ability. They called him Master. They referred to his also ability to do something in their lives. He said, "Have mercy. Have mercy." Thank God we have a merciful Lord. And they literally wanted him to do something for them. These men had enough faith to know that Jesus had the power to be able to heal them without even touching them physically. They had faith enough to cry out to the Lord for mercy. And all the Lord did was just simply say, "Go. Show yourselves unto the priest." See, Jesus was operating according to Leviticus chapter 14. I could take you over there today, but I won't. He was operating according to Leviticus chapter 14, where they were supposed to go and show themselves to the priest when they could look and determine themselves that they were clean, but they couldn't pronounce themselves clean, and so they would go to the priest and he could look at them, and depending on what state it was in, he could pronounce them clean. And so the Bible tells us that these men literally turned and left and went to show themselves, evidently, of course, to the priest. Now here is the problem. The problem is, at this point, these men still have leprosy. Nothing has changed. But yet, they had enough faith to where they just took the spoken word of Jesus that was based upon the word of God. They were not unfamiliar with what he was telling them. They knew. And yet, they had enough faith to where once Jesus gave them a spoken word based upon the written word, these men turned and headed off in a direction. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine? 1 minute, they're in a state of leprosy, knowing that they're going to die. And then all of a sudden, just like that. And by the way, sometimes your situation can look dire, can look terrible, can look hard, and you've been in it for a long time. But when the Lord jumps right in the middle of it, just like that, he can turn it all around. Thank God we have a Lord like that. He's all powerful. The last time I checked, and he's never lost any power. Could you imagine these men in that leprous state? Maybe some of them were missing a finger. Maybe some of them, the nose had already fallen off. And now I can see them as they're trying to make their way. And all of a sudden, the divine power of God surged throughout their bodies. And now they are clean. Their skin is like it was when they were a newborn baby. But here is the sad commentary. Only one came back. See, you can be a person of faith, and they were. You can believe God for some things and see it happen, and yet not be thankful. But let me stop before I move on and make the application even greater. I've already told you a little bit, but I'm going to say it again. We should have the kind of faith that these men have to believe that God can do the impossible regardless of how things look. See, if we just operate on the way things look, we'll never believe that God can do it. But see, if we see things the way God sees things, then it'll help us to see something even before it comes to pass. See, that's the kind of faith that we ought to all endeavor to embrace and to have. Thank God these men operated by faith, but nine of them were not thankful. A person can have tremendous faith and still not be thankful. A person can pray for something and God can give it to them. And then they can talk about it, but don't take time to thank God for it. They can go throughout the house talking about it. They can talk to their neighbors about it. They can go on the job, talk about it, even come to church and give a testimony about it. And haven't thanked God. Listen to me. When we pray and God answers, we ought to take some time and thank him. I believe every person loves to hear these words. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It just does something. Hey, we ought to be people of faith, but we ought to be thankful. 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 Oh, listen, Thanksgiving lessons from the leper. See, before we get too hard on the lepers, make sure we're not one of the nine. Do you mind me meddling a little bit this morning? Have you ever prayed, Lord, give me a safe trip and bring me back safe? Have he ever taken you someplace and brought you back, but then you failed to stop? I'm not saying all the time, but then you failed to stop and say, Lord, thank you for getting me back home safe. Have you ever prayed and say, Lord, bless the food and use it to give me some strength for my body. And then the Lord will do it. And then we forget to say, thank you, Lord, for the strength you've given me. I mean, you see where I'm going? See what I'm saying? I want us to develop a thankful attitude to where we start saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Hey, we can be people of faith, but God wants us to be a person of faith. Because without faith, you can't please him. But he also wants us to be a thankful person like this Samaritan. Those two do not have to be mutually exclusive. Thank God we can be people of faith and thank the Lord at the same time. Thanksgiving lessons from the leper. Will you be the one? Number one, I said a person can have tremendous faith and still not be thankful. Number two, a thankful person will want to praise God and worship and thank the Lord. I'm going to say that again. A thankful person will want to praise God and worship and thank the Lord. Notice Luke chapter 17, verse 15 and verse number 16. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The Samaritan in this passage praised God with a loud voice, according to verse number 15. Look at it again. And fell down. Excuse me. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I want you to notice something that's interesting. Look at verse number 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Understand that at one point, when they were in a physical state of leprosy, they put their hands over their mouths and they, with a loud voice, lifted up and said, Jesus, have mercy on us, Master. They screamed. You know what I take from this? Now that this man has been changed, he's using that same loud voice that he used to use when he was outside of what the Lord had for him, when he was in a bad physical state, and even a spiritual state, because my Bible teaches me something, and I'm not alone with this by myself. I believe that this man was saved according to verse number 19. Watch this. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole, if you look it up, one of the first definitions you see is to save. That's not the only thing that it means, but it means to save. I looked up several commentaries to make sure that we're on the same page. And every commentary that I looked in said the same thing. It dealt with salvation. And then something that I normally don't do a whole lot, but I looked at the footnotes in my Bible. And the footnotes in my Bible, I have a King James Study Bible. And in reference to this, it talks about, in verse number 19, it meant his salvation is complete, is what it says. So this man not only got a new body, but praise God, he got a changed life because he got a new heart. Now let me make the application. When he was over here, when he didn't have the new heart, when he was in a leprous state, he lifted up his voice and cried out, because he needed some help for the Lord. Now that he's gotten the help, he is so thankful until where he can't help but come and worship the Lord and thank the Lord and give God the praise for what's taking place in his life. Here's what happens far too often when we're out there running in the world. For those who got saved a little bit later, you could run for the devil, run for yourself. Hey, Jesus has saved you. I think we ought to be running from the Lord for him, just like we ran for the devil. Those things you use for the Lord, I mean for the devil, turn around and use them for the Lord. If you're up there in the club or someplace singing karaoke in a drunken state when you were lost, now that you're saved, you're not going to be drunk on alcohol. But thank God you can operate under the control of the Holy Spirit and use that voice for the glory of God. If you had zeal and tried to get a friend to hang with you, come on out to the club with me. Let's get on the dance floor together. Why don't you, now that you're saved, put your arm around some sinner and say, why don't you come to church with me?
Why don't you praise God with me? You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about, hey, this man said, hey, I could yell when I need help. I'm going to use my voice, and I'm going to give God the praise. I'm going to give him the glory. I'm going to give him thanks. Hey, if I could use it when I was lost, I'm going to use it while I'm saved. See, when a person is thankful for what the Lord has done for them, they can't help but say, praise God, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, you're so good. Use your energy for him. Use it for him. Far too often, loud, when we're out there in the world, loud, using our voices. But then we can come to the house of God and get real quiet on the Lord. When the Lord has done so much for you, I think it's time that we open our mouths and say something. My Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. This man fell down worshiping at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. Think about what was going on. Jesus was talking to those people who were around him. Sometimes you may think he was talking to the gentlemen. No, he was talking to the people who were around. Look at verse 17 and verse number 18 and you'll see it. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. You see what I'm saying? This stranger. And then you notice verse number 19. And he said unto him, now he's speaking to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want you to see something here. This man came, he with a thankful heart, with a worshipful heart, and regardless of what was going on around him, he got into the presence of the Lord. He knelt in the presence of the Lord. And even with the Lord talking and people around, he didn't let it affect his worship. See, as believers, if we come with a thankful heart, we ought not to let people affect our worship. Because see, if we, and I'm not talking about swinging from the chandeliers, no, I'm not talking about that. But we shouldn't let people affect our worship. Can I help us out? And don't take this the wrong way. I'm just preaching. I'd say this someplace else if I was preaching it. But if you're sitting next to an iceberg, amen, if you're sitting next to an iceberg, let the Holy Spirit wrap you up, get you all warm, and you give God some thanks, and you give God some praise. And I don't think this would happen here, but if somebody just looked over at you like, you know, something wrong with you, let them look. Let them look. Because see, while they're looking at you, you're looking at him. You're looking at him. Your focus is right. Listen, we are people who ought to be thankful. We've got so much to be thankful for. And a thankful person will want to praise God and worship the Lord. Thanksgiving lessons from the lepers. Will you be the one? Will you be the one? If nobody else in the building says amen, will you be the one? If nobody else in the building says, thank you, Jesus, will you be the one? If nobody else wants to have a heart of gratitude, will you be the one? And if you are the one, the Lord will speak to you and you will hear things other people won't hear. This man who was thankful, this man who came back and worshiped, this man heard something the others didn't hear. They did, those other nine didn't hear what he said in verse number 19. But this man did. Listen, you can be in one service. Two people can be in the same service. And one person's mind can be somewhere else on something else. Another person comes in and they are focused on the Lord. And God speaks to their heart. And they can walk out saying, boy, wasn't that good? Didn't God show up today? And the other person's wondering, well, what service was there? I didn't really get what they're talking about. Oftentimes, if the focus, pardon my grammar, ain't right, the results ain't going to be right. You got to get your focus. Got to get your focus. Thanksgiving lessons from the lepers. Will you be the one? I said, number one, a person can have tremendous faith and still not be thankful. Number two, a thankful person will want to praise God and worship and thank the Lord. And then here's the third one. A person should know that Jesus expects us to be thankful. I'll say that again. A person should know that Jesus expects us to be thankful. Look at verse 17 and verse number 18. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Listen, the Lord expected those other 9 to be thankful. Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Only one came back. Those other 9 should have come back too. Jesus knew what he had done for them. But yet, they didn't come back. Only one came back. Jesus expects us to be thankful. Will you be the one? See, when we think about what the Lord had done for them, all 10 of them should have come back. As there were many diseases that were going on in Jesus' day, many diseases that were going on. People were demon-possessed. I wouldn't call that a disease. I would call that a state. But people were demon-possessed. You had others who were sick, who had a disease like the palsy or something that was going on in their lives. Many diseases and things that were going on in Jesus' day, but there was probably none that was worse than leprosy. Probably none that was more embarrassing and humiliating than leprosy. Leprosy would literally destroy the nerves that were in the body. It would discolor the skin. Lumps would appear on the body. The skin would be eaten away in various areas on the body. And as it got worse, as I've already stated, sometimes a person's nose would fall off, or portions of it would fall off, and people would wrap things around their faces trying to cover things up. There would be times when they would lose their fingers and their toes, and sometimes eventually even their hand and hands, and sometimes a foot or their feet, and their body would just literally be eaten away. And as leprosy began to progress, you had different stages of it. But as it began to progress, they would have to be away from the normal run of society. They would often be isolated. There would be times that they would be in leper colonies. It was a horrible time. It was a time like we could never imagine for a person to be in that kind of state. And the Bible says they literally stood afar off because There would be times you would see them, and sometimes they would be off of the main thoroughfare where people would walk through or ride through on a horse or on a donkey, but they would have to be at a distance away. And they would cry and scream and beg people for food. And there would be times when people would leave articles so that they could come and get those articles for those people who had a philanthropic nature. And they would leave some things out there so that these lepers could get a hold of them. They had to live by the handouts of others because they couldn't go and work and earn money and buy things for themselves. And in those leper colonies, I mean, it was a deplorable place for a person to live. They'd have to stand off, begging. Their clothes were often torn and smelly and dirty and leprosy ridden. They lived a miserable life. This one leper was in that predicament just like the other nine. But thank God, when he got touched, everything, just like that, changed. At one time, he was physically hurting, but now he's healed. At one time, he was hopeless. He had no hope, no known cure. But now he has hope. At one time, he was away from his home. But praise God, I don't know his circumstances. But if he was married or if he had kids, now he can go home to his wife. Go home to his kids. Could you imagine when daddy walked into the door, when hubby walked into the door? Could you imagine the scene that day if that was his lifestyle, if he had a family? He had been rejected by society, but now he could be received wherever he would go. He was dying. But now he's got life. He can live. He had to beg for food. But now he could work and get plenty of food. He was disease ridden. His clothes were dirty and torn, nasty and smelly. But now he can go out and buy him some new clothes. This one man was thankful. Will you be the one? Jesus expects us to be thankful. Look at verse number 18. It says, they are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Listen, Jesus expects us to be thankful. Jesus expects us to give glory to God. Listen, the Lord has physically healed some of you. Will you give him thanks? The Lord has given people in this building who had no hope, hope. Will you give him some thanks? The Lord has either kept or brought your family back together. You better give him some thanks. The Lord has blessed you with food and with clothing. Will you just give him some thanks? This week, the majority of us in this building, we're going to throw away in the trash can more food than some people will eat in a week. Will you give him thanks? The Lord has given you a job and promoted you. You're able to work and buy things. You've got a car, maybe two cars, maybe three. Now, if you have three, you got to pay the insurance. So God bless you, amen. But you get the point. God has blessed us. He really has. The Lord has delivered us from a disease, a spiritual disease from which there was no cure. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam passed leprosy, spiritual leprosy, down on all of us. And all of us at one time were spiritual lepers. And we had to stand afar off. We couldn't come into the presence of the Lord like we can now, when we can come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy. We were far off because we were a people without a God. But I read in my Bible that my Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended, that means he showed his love towards us. And that while we were yet lepers, sinners, Christ died for us. One day at Calvary, I don't know where you were. I know where I was. 2 a.m. in the morning, I was a leper lying in my bed with no hope. But I read some literature by a chick publication. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, March of 1980, I gave my life to Christ. And all of a sudden, I became a newborn creature in Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, listen, he changed me. People said, Sergeant Dennis, you're different. What's wrong? I said, Jesus saved me. Listen to me. We ought to be thankful, people. We were lepers. Lepers. Outcasts. But thank God, we came to the priest who could pronounce us clean. And when the Holy Spirit pronounced us through Paul, the Holy Spirit said through Paul, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You're clean. You're clean. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. I am your Comforter. Thank God we have it today. And we ought to give him some praise and be thankful. People, will you? Will you? Will you be the one? Let's bow for prayer.